Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Jeremy Eaton's here. He's back. That's right. Jeremy's back. He's co-CEO of Harvest Earnings. He's the co-author of Low-Hanging Fruit, 77 Eye-Opening Ways to Improve Productivity and Profits, and he's back with another installment of his wisdom. Jeremy Eaton, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much for having me back, and congratulations on your book, The Age of the Customer.
Thank you. I appreciate that very much. It's good to have you back, Jeremy. One of the things that I love about having you on the show is you're out there consulting with companies every day, talking to them. You're seeing the good, the bad, and the ugly out there. And I like it when folks like you can bring us some of the stories that you're seeing out there and let us compare ourselves to what you're seeing and learn from what you're helping them with. So what are some of the things you're seeing, especially some of the common denominators?
So There are a couple, and they may fall more on the bad and the ugly than the good, which is, the first is, even though, or I should say, because companies have done so much cost-cutting over the last five, 6 years.
Yeah, for survival.
For survival. They believe, one of the common denominators we're seeing is there's a belief of, we've done basically everything we can do. If we do more, it's clearly going to be cutting, you know, muscle and cutting out what we need. And this just isn't true. It turns out that there is a huge amount of additional actions companies can take to improve their efficiency. But the senior managers in many companies think we've done it all.
So would it be fair to say that they may have cut the fat, but they might not have cut all the inefficiency?
Well, they haven't even cut all the fat.
You think they still haven't gotten into the fat, all of that, huh?
That's right.
And yet they've survived.
In fact, what they've often done is cut some of the muscle without cutting the fat.
Oh, they missed their swipe, didn't they?
Right.
Yeah.
And because they've laid
now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
that explains a lot, I guess.
Right. Yeah, it's not a necessarily
it doesn't make sense, but it explains a lot.
But
yeah,
because they've laid a lot of people off, that's what they equate with cost cutting, and therefore they've done it, and there isn't more to do. But cost cutting is not the objective when you're trying to become more efficient. Cost cutting is a consequence of taking smart action.
Right.
And there are a lot of smart actions left to be taken that would eliminate cost, but would be smart for the customer, smart for the company.
Mm-hmm.
But managers don't realize this. And one reason is, and this is the second common denominator, many senior management teams equate getting big results, making a big difference, with having to do a big idea, one or two or three big strategic, transformational, blue sky, thinking out of the box kind of ideas. And that's not where you're going to find all these inefficiencies.
So you're thinking they're swinging for the fences. They're hunting for elephants. Instead of being more high percentage,
We'll do the big IT, you know, we'll bring in SAP and do a big ERP system, or we'll do a three-year branding project. Whereas, in fact, all these inefficiencies that add up to huge amounts of money are actually living way deep in the organization where the senior managers don't see it, shouldn't see it, it's not their job to see it, but where the employees who are closest to the work and closest to the customer do see it.
So what's the answer to that? How do we make sure we don't head that? And, folks, when Jeremy talks about these things, you know, you put your decimal point where you think it needs to go. You know, it might be a big deal to someone, might be $1 million. To you, it might be $2,000. So put your decimal point wherever you think it should go. Jeremy, what makes the syndrome is the same, isn't it?
The syndrome is identical no matter the size of the company. You're absolutely right about that. So the solution is for senior managers to say to themselves, the systems we have in place, budget systems, personnel systems, incentive and bonus plans, aren't doing the trick of getting the employees closest to the customer appropriately engaged in finding these inefficiencies, bringing them to our attention, mm-hmm. bringing solutions to our attention in a way that we can approve them quickly and get them done. So what they need is a new kind of management process.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to the ones they have, not displacing them, in addition, that has the singular purpose of getting employees to hunt for problems in a very disciplined, rigorous way, and then for the employees to solve. Usually it's not that hard to solve the problem.
So you're saying turn your problem-solving funnel upside down.
Absolutely right.
Your organization pyramid, from a problem-solving standpoint, turn it upside down, and you work for your employees. Let them find it, and then you work for them.
That's right. That's a very nice way of putting it. What many companies don't realize is that their employees are terrific problem solvers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go outside their work, in their role as parents, in their role as hobbyists on things, in their role in activities outside mm-hmm. the job, people are solving problems left and right every day.
Yeah.
Then they come to work and they're told, here's how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only are they told, here's how to do it, after a while you don't even see that a problem is a problem.
Well, and it creates two problems. Number one, you probably, if you're not involved with the people who are where the rubber meets the road, you're probably going to not get a good result.
Yep,
and number two, you're not going to have people who have bought into what you're doing because they weren't part of the decision.
Yeah,
double crossed, aren't you?
That is such a great insight. And in fact, we talk about using this kind of disciplined process I'm discussing. We say that the buy-in is built in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to work before we started Harvest Earnings for one of the big traditional consulting firms, where the smart, you know, you're the smart person, you come in and you tell a company what the right answer is. Even if we got it right, which we probably didn't, because no one knows more about how to improve the company than the people in it,
right.
Not the outsider. But even if we got it right, it always was our solution, and as soon as it hit a bump in the road, people disbanded it because it wasn't there.
Right, and you were left. Hey, I need your website quickly, Jeremy.
It's www.harvesteearnings.com.
The book is called Low-Hanging Fruit. Jeremy Eden and I will be right back 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.